Today on Maine Calling, Maine's comedy scene. It is true now more than ever, we all need a good laugh sometimes. What makes you giggle? Some of us prefer physical humor, that comic whose body language or facial expressions just crack us up. Others like their comedy dry and deadpan, when the jokes might take a second to hit you. And then there's a long Maine tradition of humorous storytelling, often with a peppering of a good Maine accent. Whatever floats your boat, there is likely a comedian working in Maine today who will make you laugh. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll meet some of the funny men and women who are performing before audiences right now. And we'll learn what it takes to hone one's craft so that you can get up on stage and keep the audience in stitches. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It feels good to laugh, and there are many people in Maine who are pretty good at making you giggle. Today, we are going to learn about the new generation of comic talent in Maine. Joining me for the hour, Johnny Ader, who is a stand-up comedian based in Maine. He has been performing for more than 30 years. Karen Morgan, people say she's Maine's best-known female comic, and she's also an attorney. Possibly best known comic. We'll see about that. And Tim Farrell, a comedian who teaches stand-up comedy and is also a speaking coach. He's owner and director of the Comedy Workshop. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you seen any of our guests live? Have you ever wished that you could be a comedian and wonder what it takes? Well, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all three of you, and I have been so looking forward to this program today. Johnny, I'll start with you. 30 years doing comedy in Maine. How did it all start? Were you a funny kid? Did you always want to be a comedian, or is there an unusual story?
Well, I've always been kind of a ham, and I really have. I mean, it's just, I remember when I was a kid, I used to do, we used to have family night at our house, and I was always like the biggest ham in the family. It's actually been 22 years, but I don't mean to, you know, correct you, but I wish it's been 30 years. Probably I would be a lot more known by now, but But I started in 2003. I took Tim's class, the comedy workshop at the old Comedy Connection in Portland. Oh. And it went really good. I had a friend of mine that kind of coerced me to go down and do it with him. And he ended up not doing it anymore. And I kind of stuck with it. We had our graduation class, and then the graduation went really good, and I was like, wow, this is going to be so much fun. And then I started doing it in outside rooms, and boy, I bombed big time. But but that's kind of what happens with comics. I mean, you do really good at a few shows, and then all of a sudden you just, because it just happens. I mean, bombing happens. But I've kind of stuck with it, and it's been 22 years later, and I'm having a great time. I've met some great people. But I gotta thank Tim and for getting me started, and it was a great class, and I'm really excited to keep going, and I just have fun doing it, you know. I got to meet Karen and a bunch of other comics that are just unbelievable in Maine too. I mean, that Maine is just full of really funny, great comics.
Amen. You know, Johnny, I want to ask you though. You said that you bombed, you know, really pretty much right out the gate. What was it that made you keep going despite that? Was it that one performance was so great? Is it like a drug? Like you got it once and you had to chase it again? I think with golfers, when they sink a good putt, is that the kind of thing?
That's exactly it. I uh, You get this. It's kind of a rush. I mean, it's like probably like jumping out of an airplane. I'm never going to do that, but it's like jumping out of an airplane. You just like you get this rush, and it's I don't think I bombed a lot. I mean, but there were definitely, you get this false sense of like, oh, I'm really good at this, and then you get it the next show, and it's like, boy, I'm not very good at this. So you just, but I think in my gut, I knew I could do it. I just knew I could do it. Tim gave me some great advice. He said, use your face. I got a great face for radio, and but he said, use your rubber face. And I do a lot of facial expressions in my set, so that really helped.
Well, John, and I have to ask Johnny, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Bath.
In Bath. Okay. And Karen, what about you? You did not grow up in Maine, and anybody who has seen you perform knows that.
It's pretty obvious when you hear me talk. I have actually lived here for 30 years now. People are still surprised that number. But I grew up in Athens, Georgia. I ended up in Maine. I met my Yankee husband on a blind date, and I'm still here. And I still lead with my opening joke of, I'm from Georgia, he's from Boston, so our kids are bilingual. And it's to this day, I still open with that joke.
So, Karen, how did you get started? Were you also in Tim's class?
I was also in Tim's class. None of us would be sitting here. I was in John's class with Tim. So that's how long we've known
Oh,
each
my
other.
goodness. What are
And,
the chances?
it's amazing. And, but I would not be sitting here without Tim. I will sing his praises to the end of the earth. But when I started, I had three babies, and my youngest was two. And Tim probably will remember it took me forever to get in the class because I couldn't figure out how to leave my husband at home with all three of them by himself. And finally got in there. And then that child has just graduated from college. So that's how long ago it has been since I
Well,
started.
congratulations on that. Tim, I have to ask you, it sounds like a generation of comics have been nurtured by you. You got some crazy idea 25 years ago that you needed to this state needed a class. How did it all start?
Well, I had already started teaching when I was in New York. And by the way, like just saying that out loud, oh, I teach stand-up, it just sounds ridiculous. Like no one should do this. So, but when I got here, I had access to the Comedy Connection and had forged a relationship with Oliver, who owned Bob Marley, basically. And he saw potential. So he let me into that club and let me sort of take that over. And I have to say that Karen and John, it was a great way to start. I mean, they were, I think, in the second workshop that I taught, and very much, can I spill the beans about your kid yet, or should I keep that under wraps?
Who, Jennifer's kid?
Jennifer, can I talk about your
Oh,
kid for a second?
yes. Yes.
I just want to point out is that Karen and John and your son recently all had the same thing happen, and that is they walked into the room and they had already had a character slightly formed, and that's what comedians are looking for ultimately in the long game, is their character, so they can funnel all their stuff through that voice. And Karen and John both already had a pretty good sense of what that character was. And your son also walked into a workshop and just had a lot of clarity about who he was and how he wanted to deliver the goods. So.
And we will hear from Sam later in the program. And yes, it's true. My 27-year-old son has recently completed Tim's class and yes, has the bug now.
The only other thing I just I'll finish this out is that we went back and checked, and I've graduated between New York and Maine and Tucson, Arizona. About 700 people have gone through the workshop.
Wow.
But
Okay,
that's
Tim,
all
so
I
Let's do some bragging. Who are some people that have gone through your workshop we may have heard of?
Well, I don't promote it anymore, but early on I had Jon Stewart, I had Chris Rock, and I had Ray Romano. John was in a stand-up, Romano and Chris Rock were in improv workshops. But also, like, there's a lot of sort of comedians out there that probably aren't big names that went through the workshop and they're making a living at it. Here out of Maine, Karen, definitely, Johnny. Ian Harvey is on the West Coast now, but doing well.
Well, let me ask you, Tim, because I've heard that your teaching style is a very light touch. You don't tell people what to do, who to be. What are you trying to bring out in someone? What is your style in trying to make someone the best comedian they can be?
Well, I think that first part, like I don't get involved in crafting. Like that is the biggest mistake I could make. But I do walk into that room. If it's a 7-week workshop, I am a very assumptive about everyone has at least 5 minutes of content. And where are they going to get that
Everyone.
from? Pardon me?
Everyone.
Everyone. I can get 5 minutes out of just about anybody, unless it's just like, well, they're in the wrong room. Like they thought they were in the right room, but they're in the wrong room. But for the most part, and it runs the gamut. But operating from that, so that's the goal. I've got 7 or 8 weeks to help them find a solid 5 minutes of material, and it's pretty easy to figure out. But they all walk into the room. They all have jobs. They all have families. They all have friends. They all have points of view. So I'm just trying to find the gold mine in each of them. And what drives you crazy? What do you love? What's their family dynamic? It's finding these, it basically storytelling that's sort of with a lot of economy.
With a lot of economy. Okay.
Least
Johnny,
amount
I'm a,
of
and I have two pros on the show today, but I'm gonna ask you still, Johnny, does it take a lot of courage to get up on the stage? I mean, you're really laying yourself bare there.
Yeah, I definitely some courage and some a little bit of insanity and some just some raw down guts. I'm telling you, it does. I remember when I first started, I'd be off, I'd be waiting to go on stage, and my mouth would be so dry I could barely talk. And I mean, I'd just be drinking the water and just like trying to keep my mouth wet. And But after a while, you really get you get more comfortable the longer you do it. After you've done it for a little bit, and a lot of it too is after you get your first couple laughs. That's when I start to and I still get quite nervous before I go on stage 22 years later. Not terrible, not debilitating like it used to be, but I used to get really nervous, but. After you get the first couple of laughs, it's pretty good. I calm down, I kind of settle in, and then I can start to be myself and be funny.
And Karen, I see you nodding. Do you still get nervous before every set?
And not I didn't really have the debilitating nerves. I think because I started at age 40, and I started after having three babies in 3 years, and so not much scares me. And I had already been a trial attorney, so there are certain things that I would get nervous about that weren't related to those things. And being in front of people, I have no problem with. I think the key with comedy is there's certain things you can't control in the room. You can't necessarily control the temperature. You can't necessarily control how drunk people are some nights. The one thing you can control is how prepared you are. So my thing is I am super prepared before I go on stage so that I'm not winging it. If I had to get up there just winging it, I would probably be nervous, but I prepare a lot.
You prepare a lot. Well, you are a trial attorney, as you said. So I want to ask all three of you, and I'll start with you, Karen, how you see the world. Do you walk through the world, do you think, maybe a little differently than other people? Are you stopping on a sidewalk and making a note to yourself because you just overheard a snippet of conversation or you saw a funny sign or something like that?
No, absolutely. I have always been an observer, and ironically, I'm kind of an introverted person. So particularly if I'm traveling or I'm somewhere else, I'm constantly sort of making notes. And I think I've always done that, but I think I do it in a different way as a comedy writer now, because I really do think, that really would be funny. And sometimes it takes me a while to come up with the bit after the thing happens. You know, I had a sort of a harrowing experience in a Waffle House one time, and it was, and then I, it eventually, it took me, I think, 6 months to write it because it was so harrowing, but it eventually turned into a really funny story. But I do walk through the world, you know, with my eyes and ears open.
A harrowing experience at a Waffle House. You have to tell us now what it was.
Oh, it's way too long, but a woman,
It's a
it's
good
really.
story, huh?
It's a very long story about a woman had a grand mal seizure that was waiting on me in the Waffle House. She's fine. I was fine. I had to sit on the floor and help her, and I got a stain on my dress, but it turned out okay.
All right. Well, Tim, what about you? How do you see the world?
I guess I use the vernacular like and I also tell the comics the same thing as, you know, the civilians don't think the way we do. There's a sort of an observational sort of window that's open. And I've got so much content floating around in I still work with Karen every once in a while and also in the workshop. So these people start laying out content and then I walk through my day and I go, oh, I just saw that. What Sam was talking about yesterday in class. I just saw what Ruby was talking about. Oh, when I get back to workshop, I'm going to mention about the double parked car that I saw. Like, I
Yeah.
sort of live, I live it.
Yeah. I'm sure. And Johnny, what about you?
Well,
Tell me how your mind works.
how my mind works. Oh, I'm still figuring that out. I think that, you know, for me, I like to look at the world as a kind place, and most people are kind. I have a kind of a, you know, I do a lot of Maine humor, not so much like a humorist, but you know, I do a lot of Maine characters type stuff, and that and I really like to pick up on little things that Mainers do. There's a guy down in Booth Bay I know, this guy Bruce, and he was talking about this guy he knows down there with one tooth, and they call it a biscuit ripper. And I'll say, they call it a, it's like the guy with one tooth, it's a biscuit ripper. And it's like, and it just, that to me is just incredible. But I hang out with a lot of people like that. I'm in recovery too. So I get to, there's a lot of these really awesome main characters I get to be involved with that are just great. That are just great. So that's kind of how my viewpoint on the world.
Well, that reminds me, you know, is there, we think of, depending on what era we're thinking of, we think of a distinctive Maine humor, right? We think of Bert and I, or we think of Tim Sample, or but you mentioned Bob Marley already, depending on the era. Do you think, Johnny, that there is still now a Maine humor, a Maine brand of humor?
I really do. Yeah, I do for sure. You know, I don't do a lot of shows outside of Maine. I go to New Hampshire once in a while. I've done a couple of shows in Florida.
For
But I
Mainers,
don't, what's that?
for
No, not for
Mainers.
Mainers.
Oh,
Not for
okay.
Mainers. But for, you know, and it's actually worked fairly decent. Some of my stuff, I have to change it up a little bit when I go outside of the state because, you know, most people are, they're kind of like, what is he talking about? But I, you know, I find that in Maine, when I'm doing shows in Maine, a lot of people really still love the Maine stuff. I try to keep it more general now because I don't want to be known as just the Maine guy that, you know, the guy that does Maine comedy. So I kind of keep my material a little more general.
Yeah.
So as I'm writing.
I think Maine humor has evolved as I like when I first started visiting here, like you said, Marshall Dodge, Tim and all of those people. And the pace of that was, for me, really long. Just a really hard pace to follow. And then people like Marley and Johnny show up and they just pick up the pace and they put a different energy in it. I think the essence of Maine humor is exactly the same. The jokes and the point of view are exactly the same. They just are putting this incredible energy into it and a pacing that sort of isn't what people are used to in terms of stand up and like how many laughs per minute. We don't really talk about that, but there is sort of a delivery mechanism that audiences are looking for. And Johnny's really terrific with the Maine humor, but he's also behaving like a comic who knows, understands the pacing of a room.
And Karen, I have to ask you, because most of the performances you do are somewhere else. Do you perform differently when you're in Maine than when you're in another state? Do different jokes land differently?
I'm too old to not be myself wherever I go. I can't. So I perform exactly the same way here as I do in other states, where I'm performing. It doesn't change. I will say, I do not do Maine humor because I can't give justice to the correct Maine accent like John has. John and I did a little YouTube thing of Maine words, which was hilarious, of how to pronounce Maine words. I can't do a Maine accent. I won't do a Maine accent because I'm not going to do it justice, but my kids can do all three. My kids can do my husband's Boston accent, my Georgia accent, and they can all do the Down East Maine accent. And it just cracks me up. It's
Oh
fun
my
to see all
gosh.
of them.
Sounds like your kids need to do Tim's class.
I think they've seen enough of what I do for a living.
That family's covered.
Boy, well, I'll tell you what, we have to take a break, but I'm so excited to hear more from you all. We're talking about stand-up comedy today in Maine. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What does it take to be a stand-up comedian? What is a great place in Maine to see comedy? We're going to talk about all of that. My guest today, Karen Morgan, a comedian and attorney. She's originally from Georgia, but now calls Maine home. And if I'm doing my math right, Karen, you've been here more than half your life, right?
I've been here a long time, a very long time. So
Tim
much so I
Farrell.
still say time.
I think it sounds really nice. Tim Farrell teaches comedy and is also a speaking coach. He owns the Comedy Workshop, and we just learned that more than 700 people have learned comedy from Tim. And Johnny Ader, a stand-up comedian based in Maine, he has a new digital album coming out on Saturday. It's called What the Frig. I love it. Great title, Johnny. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a comedian? Email us, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Well, joining us now is Lucas Salisbury, who is general manager and booking agent at Empire Comedy Club in Portland. Thanks so much for calling in, Lucas.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
Many people know of Empire Restaurant in Portland. Maybe not everybody knows that upstairs there's a comedy club. How did that come about?
I worked at Empire from 2007 to 2020. And going into 2020, I flipped the room into a full-time comedy club from a music venue, which it had been for years. And then, of course, COVID hit and everything like that. But I was approached by the owner again in 2023, in like the fall of 2023, and kind of brought back my pitch of what we should do for kind of going full-blown comedy. And we reopened kind of basically January 2024, we tail end of December 2023 and started it back up kind of quietly and just got things going and launched from there. And now it's the professional A-list comedy club located right here in Portland, Maine.
Wonderful. You know, Tim mentioned a former comedy club in Portland, Comedy Connection. Do you feel as though by opening Empire, you've filled a vacuum that was left when that closed?
Absolutely. I think when if I remember correctly, I think Comedy Connection closed in 2010 or 12, somewhere in that range. When I was booking Empire as a music venue in 2017, 2018, there was just no clubs north of Laugh Boston that were actually like brick and mortar full time comedy clubs. And I just saw an opening of a niche market and there was a lot of saturation in the music industry at that time in the city. So I kind of just pivoted and it definitely it was the right move, and it did definitely fill that vacuum because we hadn't had an actual professional comedy club since the Comedy Connection.
So I have to ask you, are there shows every night, once a week? What do you offer, and what can people see at Empire?
Typically, we are open Thursday through Sundays right now with the goal to eventually expand into more days. We run two shows pretty much every night, Thursday through Sunday. Thursday night will typically be some showcases. We'll also have some national headliners that land on those days as well. The full on Fridays and Saturdays, you'll see typically full national headliners that you'll see at any major comedy club around the country. We have a really good situation where we can attract a lot of people to Maine that are even that don't even belong in a club of our size. We seat 130 people, so we're pretty small for a comedy club standard. But because Maine's such a destination place, we're able to bring a lot of big acts. So you'll typically see big national headliners on Fridays and Saturdays doing up to four shows. And then Sundays, we also run showcases, some one-off national headliners that are routing up this way. And then we always do an open mic at 8:30, 9 o'clock every Sunday night as well to give opportunity for locals to come out and work their material and kind of showcase what they're doing to get booked at the club as well.
Well, Lucas, before we let you go, is there anything you want to add about the state of comedy in Maine? Do you feel as though we have a good crop of young comics coming up?
I absolutely do. I think there's a lot of good comics that are hardworking and they're seeking all the spots they can get to develop their material, and they're putting in the reps and the work. And, you know, we don't have the luxury of a major market where we have, you know, 10 open mics a week for comics to attend. But I think what we have up here is growing really well. And I think we're going to see a lot of people emerge over the next few years that are really putting in the work.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Lucas Salisbury. He's with the Empire Comedy Club in Portland. Now, as promised, calling in Sam Moran. Sam, I don't know if you know this, but Tim Farrell's already spilled the beans that you are a recent student of his and also my son. How are you, Sam?
Hi, Mom. Thanks for having me on the show as a guest. It's about time, I've got to say.
So what made you decide to take a comedy class with Tim?
I think what made me want to start trying out comedy is the same thing that made me want to join your show today. I just love attention and the sound of my own voice. So it felt like a natural fit.
And what are some tips that you learned from Tim?
I'm kidding. I had to throw a joke in for the comedy class. I wanted to kind of push myself in a new way and improve my public speaking. And what's appealing about comedy is you can talk about whatever you want to talk about and whatever observations you make about the world. And that's what actually drove me to make the leap and take Tim's class.
And it's also true that pretty much most of your life, people have told you you should do stand up, right?
Yes, guilty as charged.
So what are some tips you learned from Tim? What do you do differently now, Sam?
Well, you know, Tim taught me a lot. I taught him a lot, too. But I would say...
You see right there.
He teaches you to embrace your, like, the pauses and your facial expressions, like you said. He gave me really good advice when I went up for our showcase that you should... Like, if something happens unexpected, like, embrace it. Like, if you have a moment with the audience that you weren't planning or it doesn't fall into your bit, that's not the enemy, but that's something to, embrace into your bit. And that was really helpful.
You also found that it's harder than you thought, right?
Oh.
It is. Yes. I would definitely say so. And, you know, it's hard because you never know, like, is it harder than I thought, or are people not laughing because that's like a them problem and they're not sophisticated enough for your humor? And so it is knowing your audience is definitely key. I'll give a little story that when we did our showcase, that was the best audience you could have because it was a bunch of new comedians who were just going up in front of their friends and family who everybody was cheering for them. And then a couple weeks later, I went to an open mic night at a bar in Portland, and it was definitely not for comedians, I would say. There was a lot of acoustic guitar and banjo and people singing, you know, French love ballads and things. And then that was very much not the vibe of my material. But I went on and I didn't get too many laughs, but that's okay because it felt like if you can go up and do your routine and have nobody laugh, like you're still fine at the end. And that was actually a really good experience too.
I love it. Well, Sam, we have professional comedians on the show right now, Karen Morgan and Johnny Ader. Do you have any questions for them?
Let me think. Yeah, I would say, how long do you guys spend preparing for your bits? Like, how long are your bits usually? Like, are you doing 10 minutes or 20 minutes at a time or even longer? And then how long does it take you to get the material you're using?
Johnny?
Okay, so for me, I definitely have to prepare before I do any show. If you're being unprepared is being prepared to fail. And I really believe that. I saw that one time, and it's really true. I've gone into shows sometimes just kind of mailing it in, going like, oh, I got this. And I don't do very good, you know? And so I think being prepared, going over my set list, trying to figure out some things that might come up. But definitely, you definitely want to prepare. I usually do, you know, for a headline set, I usually do 45 minutes. And when I first started, though, you know, getting that first 5 to 10 down was so important. You know, just getting that first 5 to 10 minutes and doing the same jokes for a while without trying to try new stuff every time you go up, you know, but getting that first 5 to 10 down really, really good and hit a lot of open mics. And there's a ton of open mics. And, you know, there's open mic in Portland on Thursdays at High Fidelity. There's the Comedy Mill guys down in Biddeford at Mulligan's. They got the Sunday open mic at Empire, and then you got the open mic at Great Falls Comedy Club. And there's a comedy club in Auburn. There's a ton of open mics you can go to, and that's really important. I still go to open mics myself. I definitely got to keep it fresh. I mean, it is, you know, you got to, like Tim told me when I first started, you got to tell a joke like 25, 30 times before it's really a good joke, you know. My son Max helps me out. He's my media guy, so he helps me out and writes some stuff with me too. So, and he's very funny too. So I got a funny son too, Jennifer, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Karen, Go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say that's nice. That's nice that you have a media guy. I'll have to find somebody who knows something about media to help me out with that.
Yes, you will, Karen. I saw an interview recently. I think David Letterman was interviewing John Mulaney, and he said something like it'll probably be, I think he said, a year and a half before he's ready to think about a new Netflix special. Is that timeline about right for you to have that long to come up, you know, once you have one set and it's out there in the world, to come up with a new set?
Well, I mean, to turn over, I generally, and to answer, Sam, to answer your question, I do an hour for my headlining set. But that hour has built up over years, you know, months and months and years and years. So to turn over a brand new special that's an hour long can take at least a year and a half, depending on how much, you know, how much stuff you still got in your back pocket. Sam, I want to applaud you for sharing your story about your first real, quote unquote, real show after your graduation show, because I had a very similar experience 20 years ago. We did our graduation show at the Comedy Connection. Everyone killed. We murdered. We trampled. We did all the stuff, right? We had the best show. And then I had my first real show, and I made the mistake of taking my husband with me. And we went into the Comedy Connection, and I can't remember the people that came up for me. Now, all of my material, I work clean, and all my material at the time was all about babies and, you know, motherhood stuff. But the act before me, let's just say, was less than clean. And it was super raunchy. And I had to go up after that with my clean mommy stuff. And I ate it, just absolutely ate it. It was horrible. So I'm walking with my husband to the car, you know, down on the pier at the Comedy Connection. And all my husband said was, well, if that's what you want to do, you know, that was it. And so Sam, thank you for sharing. And please know that by going up there, and even though it could have been a them problem, and I'm going to use this from now on, the word them problem, you've got to have those times when you fall down and skin your knees, because you're not going to grow unless you have those times. And we all, I think, we remember those more vividly than we remember the times we, you know, were in front of 500 people and had a whole room going. So it's important to have those growing moments.
Sam, thanks for calling in. Sam Moran recently took a comedy class with Tim Farrell, and he thinks he's the funniest member of his family. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking to three people who dedicate themselves to making others laugh. We're talking about stand-up comedy in Maine. Three successful Maine comedians on the show today, Tim Farrell, Johnny Ader, and Karen Morgan. Share your comments and questions. If you're quick, you can send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566. Before we move on, though, I have to ask if any of you are performing anytime soon in Maine. Johnny, you've got a new digital album coming up. Is that the kind of thing where you go on a tour and you support it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to come up with new material all the time, so it's not all the same stuff I got on the album. But tonight I'm actually at the Magic Lantern Theater in Bridgeton. Show starts at 7 o'clock. July 11th, I'm at Calumet Club in Augusta. I'm doing a fundraiser for a warming center. I love doing fundraisers. That's kind of one of my, I love doing stuff for people that need it. And July 19th, I'm at Mass Landing Brewing in Westbrook with Amigore Productions. And those guys are great. August 16th, I got to say this, August 16th, I'm at City Theater in Biddeford with my friend Brendan Ayer. And we're just starting a new tour. It's called the Hard Telling Not Knowing Tour. And the reason we called it that is because nobody knows us. And so it's going to be the Hard Telling Not Knowing Comedy Tour. And that's coming up August 16th at City Theater in Biddeford. So I'm hoping everybody can get to that. And we just did a show at Johnson Hall in Saturday night, and that went really good. I did have a lady come up to me after and say, by the way, did you know that you were flying low during your set? And
oh my God.
I didn't know. At 64, that happens sometimes, you know? So I'm going to have somebody check from now on.
Your teacher is horrified, Johnny.
I know
that you travel a lot. Where are you performing in the near future? And when are you performing in Maine next?
I'm thankfully home for a few weeks anyway. My next thing is I will tape my third Dry Bar special on August 9th, and that's out in Utah. And then I go back out on the road with the unsupervised and dehydrated comedy tour. It starts back up in September, but I'm also going back to school in the fall to get my master's. So I'm going to be combining my shows with my new master's program. So,
and what are you getting a master's in?
In screenwriting. So I'm going to be writing some sitcoms.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Great. Tim, do you perform anymore? Are you, you know,
I have a show tonight. I have a show tonight that I directed a show with comedian Sam Atwood, who's blind. And this is his Fringe show. It'll be at Portland Stage tonight at 7 o'clock. It's the third of five performances. He's fantastic. It's a other thing I do. But he is a stand-up comedian who's got an hour-long show about, it won't blow anything. He's blind. At one point, he made the decision to have both his eyes removed just to make being blind a whole lot easier. I'm not doing justice to it, but it's a very funny show.
Well, thanks. And that sounds great. If people have for both of you, Tim and Johnny, are there tickets available tonight, or are these events
tonight? Very much. Yeah, yep. If you just plug in Port Fringe 25, you'll find Sam's show at Portland Stage. You can get a ticket.
Oh, I forgot. I do have a main show coming up in August at Deer Trees at the end of August. So that's my main show for the summer.
And Johnny, are there tickets available?
Yeah, there's tickets available. It's at Magic Lantern Theater in Bridgeton. And I think there are some tickets available. The last show was sold out, so this one probably won't. So you can get tickets still.
On the line with us now, Leonard Nimble. He's the owner of Great Falls Comedy Club in Auburn. Thanks for calling in, Leonard.
Hi, thank you very much.
So tell us the story of how you got into comedy and how you started this club. It's not been around very long, has it?
Leonard Kimball, I took a comedy, stand-up comedy class about 7 years ago through Lewis and Adult Ed, and made some really great friends there, and we decided to just, like, buy a speaker and form our little group to do open mics in the area, and then we've just been, you know, made some great friends and had a really fun time doing it, and eventually things grew into, like, a little small business that I have now.
Tell us who you can see there.
So we do shows. We do shows every Friday and Saturday nights, and we have a lot of local comedians that come through. I've had the pleasure of having Karen and Johnny on our stage multiple times. A lot of other main professional comedians like Brendan Ayer and Mark Tucker. We have some touring comedians nationally coming through as well, like Kathy Gilmore, Doug Key, Jimmy Dunn, you know, Ray Harrington, all fantastic. I'm just so impressed by the talent they have, and, you know, honored that they come and do our small comedy club in Auburn. We have 50 seats, and we have a great time there. It's a really nice room.
Yeah. So I understand you have something coming up in July.
Yeah, totally impromptu. We decided to do a July impromptu comedy festival, which we do every year. And yes, we know what impromptu means. So Wednesday, July 9th through Saturday, July 12th. It's also kind of a sneaky way to celebrate my birthday that week. We'll have 25 comics across four different shows. We'll have a comedy workshop, and we'll have a great time. So I'm planning some different changes in the room. So hopefully we'll pack the room for that weekend. And it's a way for us to sort of celebrate laughter, you know, in our area, especially in Maine. But, you know, I want to bring some laughter into the Lewis and Auburn area as well.
Well, thank you so much for calling us, Leonard Kimball with the Great Falls Comedy Club in Auburn. Let's see here. We've got a couple calls coming in. We'll go to Charmin calling from Scarborough. Hi, Charmin. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Kim. I don't know if you remember me, but I took your class many, many years ago at the Comedy Connection, and just hearing your voice today makes me smile. And we...
Carmen West?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I think of you often, and I think about... This is nice to be swept back a whole bunch of years and the classes that we took together and had fun. And you were an awesome teacher, and it was an easier time in my life. So it's nice to go back there.
Well, that's good to hear you.
Yeah, Charmin, thanks for taking the time to call in. An email here, Adam on Facebook, a Facebook post here. Adam writes, Laughter Effects produces quality comedy shows in Southern Maine, like the monthly Comedy Situation held since last year in select Westbrook venues, bringing excellent Boston headliners and fine local talent to the Portland suburbs. Look for it to continue in a new Portland area venue in July, as well as other Laughter Effects shows. Catherine writes, My favorite Maine comedic storyteller is Tom Clark, and my favorite character is C.L. Thomas. Michael on Facebook says, yes, Karen and Johnny, the best. And Marty on Facebook wants us to mention Biddeford's The Comedy Mill. Kirk and Susan write, so nice to hear. Johnny Ader, he puts on a hilarious, fun show. So lots of fans out there listening today. We'll go to Clay calling from Caribou. Hi, Clay. Go ahead.
Hi, I was calling because I have a son who really excels in this this genre, and you know, he does theater and everything, and he is funny as can be, but he is high school age. I was wondering if there is somewhere where we could watch a comedy show, or he could join a workshop that does not need to be age appropriate. He doesn't need clean humor, but he is underage.
Now, Clay, when you say watch, are you talking about online or wondering if there's something up in Arista County?
No. We'd like to go to a comedy show and see a live show. But he would also be interested in joining one of the workshops.
Oh, okay. In September, I'm going to have a teen stand-up workshop? I do like try to do one a year. It sounds like you might be geographically challenged. I'm going to be in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Is there if
How long does the workshop last?
It's 7 weeks.
Oh,
What
okay.
was
Yeah, that. Go ahead.
once a week for 7 weeks, right? Yeah, so and I think Clay, you were kind of wondering if there's a club that where somebody who's under 18 could go watch, right?
Yeah, we could travel to go see a show somewhere.
I know for up in Bangalore anyway that Adam Hatch and a couple of those guys that I know do shows up there from time to time. So I'm not sure if there's actually, I don't think there's a club up there, but there are quite a few shows up in that part of the woods. I've done a bunch of shows in Caribou and Presque Isle and stuff. So there's not a ton of stuff up there, but Bangor, I think, is probably your best bet for something that up in that area. So you'd only have to travel 5 hours instead of eight to get to it.
Johnny, is there do any of you know, is there sort of a central repository, someplace people can go if they just want to keep up on what's going on in Maine? I mean, you have the clubs, but it sounds like there are places that kind of do pop-up shows.
There is always a guy on Facebook that is desperately trying to organize it all. Like just what you said, one-stop shop. Here are all the open mics and all the clubs and all the, but there are 14 breweries alone that from 1 week to the next have an open mic. So it's very hard. I think it would be wonderful if a beginner like Sam could just look at a friggin' list and go, oh, on Tuesday, blah, 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 on Wednesday. But it's a thankless job and it's ever rotating or growing or shrinking.
Okay, well, so I'll just give Clay all three of your phone numbers. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, Clay, good luck to you
Yeah.
and good luck to your son. And you have my sympathy of having a son who's funny. It's great fun, but it's also, as Johnny can probably say, it's easy to be humble when you have a kid who's funny, right?
That's right. Yeah, it is.
Well, I want to ask you all about whether you think comedy is changing. I mean, we are living in times that, how should I say this? I think a lot of people are desperate for a good laugh, but on the other hand, things like satire don't even seem like satire anymore. So, Karen, are you adjusting your comedy to the times?
Well, the good news is I don't do politics and I work clean, so I have not had to adjust much in my personal material. But I'll give you an example. I did a corporate event last Tuesday in Washington, D.C., and it was a group of Washington, D.C. high-hitting attorneys. And you should have seen the piece of paper that they sent to me about what they didn't want me to talk about. So I think particularly with corporate comedy, everybody's very hypersensitive about certain things. But me personally, I don't do politics. I have clean humor, so I have not had to adjust. But there are certain comics that I know that don't necessarily work clean. I think they're hilarious, but they now may be, on the brink of not being able to do some of those shows, depending on who's hiring them. If you're going to a theater, a performing arts center where they know what they're getting is, say, a comic comes out and they know they're getting somebody that's a little off color or whatever, and they buy a ticket for that person, great. But if they go to, let's say your audience comes in, it's a performing arts center. I do a lot of these. Those people kind of want you to be a little cleaner. They don't want their clientele who have bought season tickets to complain. So, some people have had to adjust. It's very true.
Tim and Johnny, have you found any kind of change in the last decade or even the last couple of years? Tim, you're nodding.
Well, for two reasons. One is I think the more things change, the more they say the same. Comedy has not changed at all. It has not changed at all. It will continue to be exactly what it is. But as Karen said, I think the clubs have maintained what they can get by with, and depending on who's running that club. I also think that the theaters like that maybe have changed a little bit. But I know like Fidelity, I have two friends that just perform for Fidelity 45 minutes after dinner. And just like Karen said, there is a long, used to be the comic might have a little rider. Now the client has a very long rider. Some of it is quite extraordinarily insane what they can't do.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to wrap it up, Johnny. I'll have to get your answer off air because we're out of time. You guys, this was so much fun. Thank you all for joining us today. Johnny Ader with us, a longtime Maine stand-up comedian, 22 years. Karen Morgan, also a successful comedian and also an attorney. And Tim Farrell, the owner and director of the Comedy Workshop. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, a politics show, we're going to wrap up the legislative session. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.